Go ahead and keep your Bibles open there to 2 John. We are going to continue on in our sermon time this morning from this relatively short book that we find contained towards the end of the New Testament. Don't usually wish happy birthdays from the pulpit, but I thought today was a special day. Today's my mother's birthday, so I want to wish her a happy birthday. I won't give you her age, but I'm 48 and she was 25 when I was born. So if you do a little math, you could maybe figure that. So happy birthday to Mom on this special day for her. We're going to talk this morning about walking, and we're going to look at a different aspect of what we might think of when we take out down the street. You know, it's time to resume running or walking when you try to do a few push-ups and you discover that certain body parts refuse to leave the floor. You get winded just saying the words 10-kilometer run. You come to the conclusion that if God really wanted you to touch your toes each morning, He'd put them somewhere around your knees. And you analyze your body honestly and decide that you should develop first is your sense of humor. And you step on a talking scale and it says, come back when you're alone. So maybe it's time to start that walk, if we ever thought about the physical aspect of walking. But this morning I want to ask a much more serious question. How's your spiritual walk? Are you crippled? Are you walking smooth? Are you walking fast? Are you walking slowly? And obviously there is more than one kind of walk. Do you remember the man who walked with God? We read there in Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Reading there from chapter 5 of Genesis, verses 21 through 24. You know, that's an interesting concept or something that we can't hardly comprehend. And I've always envied Enoch, not because God took him so that he wouldn't experience death, but because of his close walk with God. Can you imagine that walk? Can you imagine that fellowship? Can you imagine that time in communion with God? You know, a little girl gave a most exquisite explanation of walking with God. She went home from Sunday school, and her mother asked her, she said, tell me what you learned today in class. And she said, well, don't you know, Mother, one day they, and talking about God and Enoch, went for an extra long walk, and they walked on and on until God said to Enoch, you're a long way from home. You just better come in and stay. And he went. What a great walk with God Enoch had. Would we all have such a walk in our lives? You know, John's main purpose for writing this letter is to make sure that we're walking. Walking in truth, walking in love, and walking in obedience. And all three of these are contained in this passage that we're going to look at this morning. In your classes, we'll be spending 3 more weeks in our focus study. We'll be winding up 2 and 3 John. We've spent several weeks now on the first letter that John wrote in this series. And we'll be winding up. And you'll be spending some time this morning looking at the history, the background here of 2 John. But I want to look this morning at mainly 3 different areas that John addresses here. He begins there in verse 1, to the elder, the lady chosen by God, and to her children. And let's stop right there for just a moment. And you'll be talking more about this during class time. But remember, John is the last eyewitness alive of Jesus' entire earthly ministry. The other apostles are already gone, have died the martyr's death. And by the time John writes this letter, he's around 80, give or take a year or two, but somewhere around 80 years old. And he refers to himself as the old man, the grandfather figure, the overseer of several churches. And he addresses this particular letter to the chosen lady and her children. You may discuss some of the aspects of that during class this morning. Some commentaries you read say maybe that was a certain individual. I think the most would say he's addressing that to the church. That's the elect lady and then her children being the members or the makeup of that church. But he goes on to say, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. If you're doing your underlining as you go along, you're noticing the key words that we see over and over again. Love, truth, Jesus. And this is sort of John's standard greeting in his letter. Jesus calls himself truth. And what John is doing is showing what they all have in common. And what they have in common is the common truth, the common love. Let's keep reading there at verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one you have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. You can identify the sign on the PowerPoint that's behind me. You've seen that. If you've been out on the roads or highways or even around the city, mainly more in town, you would see this particular sign. If you've had to take your driver's test, you may have had to identify that sign. But we realize that's the pedestrian crossing. And it means that there are people walking. You know, maybe this should be posted on the church door as we walk in this morning. Because as Christians, we're walking. As Christians, we're on that journey. Walking always serves a purpose. The forward motion gets you from point A to point B to fulfill a purpose. Whether you're walking to the refrigerator for a snack, or you're involved in a 5K walk to help fight cancer, walking always serves a purpose. Many here this morning may use walking as part of your exercise routine. I've started trying to walk a little bit more recently. I've got this little thing on the phone that kind of keeps track, and you may have that same thing. It shows how many miles you're walking during the day. I think that's a good thing because you get to a certain point and you think, well, I'm going to go just a little bit further. I want to get to that next mile, and maybe you get there and say, well, I'm going to go just a little bit further. I've done some walking around the building, walking to make visits here close or to grab a bite of lunch. I've had two or three stop and ask me if I need a ride. I appreciate that, but that walking's by choice to try and help in the health situation. But what an appropriate description of the Christian life. It's a walk. And the purpose is to get from point A, earth, to point B, heaven. And while we're walking, we're growing, we're maturing, we're moving. And today's sermon, the title being, Walk This Way. Here in verses 4 through 6, this is the heart of this book. And John gives three different areas in which we're to walk. And I want to just share those with you this morning. Simple things. But think about them as you think about your life. Think about these three areas and say, am I walking in the right direction? First of all, he talks about walking in truth. We read that just a moment ago. You know, if you're struggling in your faith, if you're stagnant and not moving in truth, if you merely have a belief about God and not a power-filled faith, it's time you started to walk in truth. Walking in truth. The story was once told of the driver who was coming to the intersection and the light turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing. He stopped at the crosswalk even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. Well, the tailgating woman right behind him was furious, and she honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she had missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. And as she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on the window and looked up in the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where he searched her, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed her in a holding cell. And after a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, ranting and raving. And I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on your truck. And naturally, I assumed you'd stolen the car." And do we sometimes find ourselves in a stolen vehicle? You know, you may think about that and laugh at that, but consistency is the test for truth, is it not? We claim to be Christians. Do people see that in our lives? Let me give you just a quick test here. Is your life consistent with what you believe? I'm going to give you four scenarios, and you decide. Maybe you've been in a situation similar. You're out with friends for dinner, and they suggest you take in a late movie together. You hear the title of the movie and you know the content is going to make you very uncomfortable. What do? Take a stand. Scenario number two, your daughter comes home from high school and tells you that a non-Christian boy has asked her out. What do? Take a stand. Scenario number three, you're having coffee with the ladies from the neighborhood and one of the ladies responds to a question about faith with, "Oh, all religions are the same as long as you're sincere." And then there's a huge silence. What are you going to do? Make a choice. Take a stand. And scenario number four, your son just got a new job that requires that he work on Sunday mornings and nights. He's so excited. What are you going to do? Make a choice. Take a stand. That's what the Christian life is built upon. The Christian life isn't built upon love. That's the expression that we give, but the life is built upon truth. That's our foundation. Are we taking that stand this morning as Christians? Are we walking in truth? John said in verse 4, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth." Because those who walk in the truth, they get it, do they not? They recognize what God has done for them through Jesus Christ, and they love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. God's Word, this truth, is the foundation of their lives. The love that then is shown is an expression of that. But that brings us to the second thing that John talks about. And he urges us to walk in love there in verse 5. And he says, "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one that you've heard from the beginning," or one that you've had from the beginning. "I ask that you love one another." John says that the command to walk in love is not a new command. And we realize that. Back in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, "Teacher," the question was asked to Jesus, "which is the greatest command in the law?" And then he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, what would your commitment level look like? Who would you serve? Would you lead? Would you give? God is the one who is worthy of our time, our talent, our money, our means. Everything that we have to give, where are we spending those things? What about loving others? You know, I could ramble on about what that looks like, but the truth is, you know what it means to love one another. You know what it looks like. So what keeps us from walking in love towards others? Simple thing. Selfishness. Me, myself, and I. That's why Jesus commands to love others equal to self. But often our field of vision is so narrow. And I know a lot of times we're only concerned about this person right here, the person that we see in the mirror. I know I'm speaking of my own experience. Maybe you have that same feeling from time to time. It's time that we look beyond our own little world. All year long. You know, it's easy to do that this time of year. We're bringing in canned foods this morning. We're bringing in groceries to pack the pantry because we have an extra need during this time of year. And thank you so much for doing that. John cannot thank you enough. It makes his job so much easier in providing for the needs of others. We need to be that way all year long. Considering the needs of others, looking beyond our own little world, each person you run into in any given day is dealing with the trial or the trials of life. And then the third thing that John talks about is walking in obedience. We see that in verse 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. Love is the reason behind obedience. It's why you choose to obey, because you love God. Obedience to God's Word. I want to just read several scriptures here. Don't take time to turn. Just follow and listen as I read these. Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Keep His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land of the Lord, in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Also Deuteronomy chapter 4, do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Deuteronomy chapter 11, love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands always. Proverbs chapter 7, keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commands. And also in John 14, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Just six references here where we're told to keep His command. There are a total of 49 throughout Scripture that we're told to obey God's commands. You know, here a little later on, you'll be eating lunch. And I like to go to lunch. One of the reasons I have to walk is because I like the buffet. Don't you enjoy that buffet? And I think we all probably do from time to time, especially maybe at a Chinese restaurant. You'll go down that line and you look at that buffet and there's such a variety there. But I don't put everything on my plate. I don't try to do that. I kind of pick and choose. This looks good to me. This doesn't look quite as good. I'm not going to try that. And I'll go back a second time and get what I liked from the first trip. And I think that sometimes we're guilty of treating God's commands as a buffet. We follow the ones we want to follow. But if it doesn't feel right for me, then I won't put it on my plate. Think about that in your life. There's some things that are so easy for us to do. Some things that are so easy for us to follow. We sometimes look at those and tend to look at the one, or forget to look at the ones that we struggle with. God wants us to be obedient to His full counsel, obeying all His commands. Walking in truth, walking in love, walking in obedience. That's John's message to the chosen lady, or the church as we're looking at it this morning. And that's his message to our group here this morning. This body of believers here today. And the great thing about walking in truth, walking in love, and walking in obedience is that it's your choice. It's your decision. So I want to leave you with one question today. Which area do you need to work on? Walking in truth, walking in love, walking in obedience. Do you need to have a more consistent life? Do your actions match your beliefs? Are you walking in truth? Or maybe you need to live a life that is expressed by love. Or perhaps today it's time to start living a life more obedient to God's Word and to God's Spirit. You know, sometimes when we talk about walking, we might walk in a relay. Relay for life. That's a big thing that happens on a regular basis. And in that, you'll have a group and you'll walk a distance and then you'll pass it on to someone else. They'll walk a distance and you just keep that walk going, going, and going. Think about that in our spiritual life. John chapter 19, and Andrew so eloquently pointed this out before our communion this morning. Chapter 19 and verse 16 says, "Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle." He's walked his part, has he not? He's walked the distance, completed his mission, passed that baton on and said, "Okay, it's your turn." And many here this morning are walking that Christian life. We need to have those signs on our front door, because it's a daily walk to walk in truth, to walk in love, to walk in obedience. Maybe you could use a little boost this morning. We'd love to pray for you this morning. If there's something hurting you this morning that we can take to God in prayer, one of our shepherds would gladly do that. And we do that frequently as we gather together. If you're here this morning and you haven't yet become a Christian, you haven't started that walk, so to speak, what a perfect time. You've heard God's Word. You believe it. You're willing to repent, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized. And then it's a daily walk, is it not? We've got Christians here this morning that have been walking that for years. And God bless you. Keep walking. Point A to point B, earth to heaven. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?